Let's open God's Word to the Gospel of John, chapter 13, as we embark upon, as far as I'm concerned, without doubt, the most important of all the concepts for the Christian, the goal of the Christian, the mark of the Christian. Last night we continued to look at one of the most phenomenal passages in the Word of God in dealing with sin, and that is that God has already cleansed and God has already forgiven. And that's just an awesome, comforting concept in dealing with the believer and his sin. And that it's already been taken care of. And either we believe that or we don't believe that, but it's just so a remarkable concept, and it defies so much the nature of man, the way that we think in dealing with that God has already cleansed and God has already forgiven of the sins. Now, what motivates that? How does that relate as far as we're concerned in our study? What motivates that is the love of God. And unfortunately, like His holiness, it's just so misunderstood. Love is so misunderstood. It's abused. And so many things have been wrongly done, all in the name of love. And it just doesn't line up with the Word of God. So we need to understand, what is it that characterizes the believer? What is it that causes God to take care of our sins? I hope that you will begin to follow the study that we're doing in 1 John with a great enthusiasm. While John is not giving us a curing mechanic in 1:9, what he is giving us is just one of the greatest verses in the Bible in dealing with sin, and whether or not a believer gets to the point of where he believes it or not it has to be up to the believer as far as the practice of his life. But now what we're going to study is what motivated what God did in regard to our sins and why they're already forgiven and cleansed. What is it that marks a person as belonging to Christ? So often believers want to make it their creed, therefore they make sure people know their creed. Others want to make sure that they think it's their righteous or moral life, and they want to make sure everybody knows that they're righteous and moral life to the point of hurting others. Others, their lifestyle in regard to church attendance, and they make sure everybody knows they're there. But as we're going to find out, that is not what Christ says marks a person as belonging to Christ. It's something far more difficult than that, and yet not difficult at all for the believer in Jesus Christ. Let's prepare ourselves for the study of the Word of God. I'm down here on the floor level. As I teach these things, I'm dealing with spiritual love. Shoot back at me. If you don't agree, if you have another verse that contradicts it in your mind, shoot back at me. Don't sit there and harbor that you really don't believe this. Because I want you to understand something very, very clearly. You will be tested. Make no doubt about it. You will be tested to love as Christ loved. And I mean severely. Some Christian, God, is going to seem to really let you down, hurt you, and you're going to be tested in the area of this life. So be sure when you read it, oh, that sounds wonderful, and I believe that, and that's great. And then if you're hit with it in your marriage, you're hit with it in your work, you're hit with it in your single life, you're hit with it in the church, you're hit with it somewhere in your life, family, somewhere. And you fail the test. Well, it didn't mean that. That love didn't apply here. Oh, yes, it did. Don't lie and deceive yourself. So just mark it that you will be tested. So make sure you understand and believe what the Word of God says, because before long, Satan, God, cosmos, something, you're going to be tested. I promise you, from the Word of God. So let's prepare ourselves for the study of the Word of God. When we enter into this area where it's so dangerous to study the love of God. People talk about it being dangerous to study Satan. Satan doesn't like people to study him, and that is true. He does not. But studying Christ's love. This is a force that is so powerful. So powerful. This force, love is a spiritual force, and this force defeated Satan. This force redeemed you. That's powerful, people. It defeated the enemies of God, and it redeemed man. Boom. So let's be sure that we're empowered by the Spirit, because we cannot even understand. We cannot even understand what this love is without the power of God to illuminate it for us. Let's prepare for battle. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do not stand amazed of condemnation, for we know that we are sinful creatures. While we are frightened of it, we do not stand amazed at eternal condemnation, for we know in our soul our own wickedness. Where we stand amazed is at the cross. Where we stand amazed is at your love. Where we stand amazed is that we can love that same way. That's boggling to our mind. Father, we desire that both angel and man know that we belong to Christ. I am a Christian. We want angels to know. We want man to know. So we pray now that your Spirit will guide us and how we may have that mark upon us. Not a physical marking on our forehead, but the mark of that love inside of our head, manifesting itself. We pray, Father, that in these few moments that you will protect this assembly from the powers of darkness who would seek to impede and darken our understanding, blur our understanding of this subject. Protect us. Allow your Holy Spirit, Heavenly Father, to illuminate us into the accuracy and the truthfulness of our understanding of this passage. To this end, Father, we do humbly pray in Christ's name. Amen. John chapter 13. Jesus Christ has come. God has entered directly into the history of man and has become man. Not the man God, but the God man. This is the fulfillment of the Word of God. This is why Jesus Christ is called the Word, because he is the fulfillment of God's Word, I will save. Jesus Christ is the keeping of his word. So he has come to planet Earth and has manifested God. Jesus Christ is now about to die on the cross and bear the judgment of the sins of the world. defeat the arch enemy, Satan, deliver us from the law. So many things are going on, but other things in those, but we'll leave that at three. These things are about to occur. And then what is about to occur is after his burial, his great resurrection, first resurrection, and then he will go and be seated at the right hand of the Father in glory, where the arch enemy desired to be and hates the fact that a member of the human race, man, is sitting in that place. Now, with Jesus Christ coming, and now he's getting ready to depart. We're in a matter of very short span of time when Jesus Christ is about to depart from planet Earth. Now, when Jesus Christ does depart, here is the departure of Jesus Christ. During his lifetime, there are many people who started following him. They started following Jesus Christ. They believed in Jesus Christ as the Son of God and their Savior. Then they followed him. They were ready to follow him into the kingdom. This is what they understood would be next. But he's leaving. He's leaving planet Earth. But what's going to happen is, when he leaves, all of his followers are going to be left behind. They're not going to go up with him. Not right away. They're going to be left here. And this is a rather frightening thing. To have walked with him and planned on the kingdom, he leaves, he's departed from earth, and they've got to go on. So out of his love, out of the love of anyone who cares about people that they're responsible for, that love them, a husband, father, make some plans. Make some plans for those I'm leaving behind. Got an insurance policy, hopefully this, that, whatever can be provided. Sometimes people can't. The economic won't let them, but the principle is what I'm dealing with there. We like to leave things behind for security. So Jesus Christ is about to depart. And as Jesus Christ is about to depart, he's now going to leave them, among many things, he's going to leave them something that will guide them. He's going to leave them a new commandment, among other things. He will also leave them the power. He will leave them the third member of the Godhead, which we're studying on Sunday in Joshua. Oh, people, I hope it's getting... I know you know the main point, crossing Jordan, crossing the Red Sea, how they're different and similar. But I hope you're sensing so many other things, like the importance in your everyday life of knowing that God is with you, in you. It was important to Moses. It's important to Joshua. It's so important to Christ that as soon as he got to topside, the first thing he asked the Father, Father, right away, will you send my followers, those you have given to me, will you send them the Holy Spirit so that God is with them? Father said, I'll do that. You bet. So we have that. But he left us a new commandment. And that's what we're taking as our first introduction to our study of what we're going to call spiritual love, and we'll see why as we develop the study. So we have a new separation. We have a new commandment. As we see, we're going to have a new impact. All right, John chapter 13, upper room. He's with those he loves, the disciples. Those that are going to begin and carry on the new economy, the new dispensation. Some people have a problem with the word dispensation. The new economy, the new period of history, the proclaiming section of history, and he's meeting with the men just before the crucifixion. John chapter 13, verse 1. We're not going to do the whole chapter. Let's get into what the background, the scenery of this new commandment. Now before the feast of the Passover, Jesus knowing. Okay, we have the Feast of the Passover. What's that? That's a picture of the crucifixion of the Passover lamb. Jesus is that Passover lamb. It says knowing. The Greek word, I love the Greek word here. The Greek word is oida. It's like this, O-I-H-O-I-D-A, oida. Oida means to know something to the point it makes a difference in my life. You ever watch Jeopardy? I like to watch Jeopardy. I don't get to watch it much anymore, but I used to watch it. Just unbelievable things some of those people know. Now, it didn't make any difference in their life. It isn't going to change how they deal with their husband or their wife or at work or other places in most cases. They just know it. It boggles your mind how they can know those things. But then to know something where it makes a difference in your life. It makes a difference in how I act. What were we studying Sunday morning? What were we studying? The relationship of faith, believe, and know. Now, there is a knowing before faith. That's the hearing of the word. But then after our initial faith in Christ and our faith in the Holy Spirit, then we come to know, and that leads to an understanding, which takes us even into a deeper depth. And this is where we want to go with spiritual love, an understanding of it. Not just what it is, but an understanding of it. To know. To know things that are going to change your life. To know something that's going to change the way you deal with your husband, your wife, your children, your parents, people in the church, people at work, people on the freeway, people in the store. Anyone, everyone. Jesus Christ knows something that makes a difference. And the difference is chapter 13 on. Chapter 13, 14, 15, 16, 17. Makes a difference. And right here is the difference. In the beginning of our study. Jesus knowing. Now what does he know? That his hour had come. Boom! Over and over, from the beginning of John all the way through, they came after Jesus. And what is this little phrase? But it was not his hour. They came to stone him. But it was not his hour. I'm not going to take time now to go through that. If you read the Gospels, you'll see it. But it was not his hour. It was not his hour. It was not his hour. So all the plans failed. All of a sudden, his hour has come. And now things are going to start happening. So now he knows that the hour, that's time frame, right now, what's going on? That his hour had come. That. Now what's the hour that had come? That he should depart out of this world to the Father. I loved it. I changed my funeral messages since then. I've loved funeral messages. I prefer to do a funeral of a Christian. And not until recently, until some studies in spiritual love. Weddings are okay, but nobody listens at weddings. People listen at funerals. I mean, you got undivided attention in most cases. So you're sitting there. Or that could be me in that box. And they're listening. They're listening. Weddings? Let's get this over with. Get them married so we have some cake and dance and, get going here. But next month or so, we're going to change that. I'm going to have a lot of fun with the wedding. Okay. That he said, depart out of this world to the Father. There's the big difference. Relationship. Relationship of Jesus Christ with the Father. We know exactly where Jesus Christ is right now and where we're going to be. We know that. Where is Jesus Christ right now? I don't know. I know. He's at the right hand of God the Father. And as we continue our study in John 14, we're going to continue to add to the list of all the things he's doing. Right now we know one thing he's doing. He's an architectural designer. He's designing mansions and houses and dwelling places for us. I still don't know how he's going to do the room allocation. But he's got all that worked out. So let's don't worry about it. We're not told, so we don't need to know. But when you get up there, there's right over there. He'll know. So he'll figure that out. And he's doing other things. But he is with the Father. And this is a wonderful thing. When I die, I'm going to heaven. What does that mean? When I die, I'm going to go be with the Father. Sometimes the way people like to say, when I die, I'll be with my husband and my wife. I'll be with my parents, my friends. And that's okay. That's okay. But I'm going to be with the Father. I'm going home. Now, for some of you, I'm going home. That means you're going to go home, your husband, your wife, your children, and it's a family. What's a single person say? I'm going home. Well, big deal. I walked in and said, I'm home! Nobody answered. Anybody ever answered? I'm shutting the door and running. There's nobody should be answering me in there. So it doesn't mean it. But to go home to the Father. And Christ, I want you to understand what's going on in our Savior's mind. He knows all of these things. This is what going on in his mind as he's at the table. And the disciples are there. Okay. That he should depart out of this world. Departure. There's a departure. He's going to leave planet Earth. The departure out of this world. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. It's a reference to you. It's a reference to all believers in the church. And this is powerful. This is what motivates people, you understand, to love them. This love that we're talking about right now watch this, is not talking about this. It's not talking about the cross. I know that's important. That's not what he's talking about here. What he's talking about is things like the new commandment, the giving of the Holy Spirit. Those are the things being talked about here. That's what's in reference here. So he loved them to the end. It's not part of our study, but I just want you to see the framework of this chapter, of this section, of this commandment, of these hours of Christ. Look at verse 2. Look who's there. Look who's there. And during the supper, the devil, having already put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, to betray him. You see the scene? The scene, Satan's there and Judas. He's there. Satan's here in this room right now, at the large table, this upper room. He's going to leave. Judas and Satan are going to leave in a few moments after the dinner starts. But right now, in this room, it's a phenomenal scene. It's a phenomenal thing going on right now. Satan's there. God is there. His disciples are there. It's a powerful room. It's a powerful night. And all through this whole episode that's going on, you've got to understand, Satan's right there. God is right there. Christ is right there. Believers are right there. Unbelievers are right there. It's dramatic. It's so dramatic of what's going on. To come to arrest Jesus Christ. To come to arrest him. Are you Jesus? Are you looking for him? Is Jesus the end? He said, I am. What happened? What happened to him? Jesus fell to the ground. Who's in Jesus? Satan. I mean, all through this, if you could follow what's going on, it's just boom, 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 boom. Satan, I'm in control. I'm God. So powerful. But Satan is in the room at this point. And then verse 3, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands and that he had come forth from God and was going back to God. So Jesus Christ knows all these things. You and I need to have that same confidence. We're going to go to the Father when we die or the rapture. That's the one thing we don't have to fear. Last night we noted that the problem with sin on the believer, in one sense, is far greater than it is on the unbeliever. But on another sense, it isn't at all. Because no matter how many sins a believer commits and know how long he lives in sin, he's going to heaven. Born again, an unbeliever isn't. You're going to go to heaven. You're going to be with the Father. You're going to be with Christ. So it gives a confidence, a hope in regard to our life. Let's move through. Having set the scene in verses 1, 2, now let's go. Verses 33, 34, and 35. Verse 33, a new separation. A new separation. Verse 34, new commandment. Verse 35, a new historical impact. All right, let's take a look now. See what we have going in our study. All right, verse 33, we have a new separation. Let's take a look at it. 13:33, little children, enduring term by Jesus Christ. John is there, Peter, Matthew. Little children, I am with you a little while longer. You shall seek me, and as I said to the Jews, I now say to you also, where I am going, you cannot come. We have a new departure, separation from planet Earth and from his own church. Separation. Now we come to verse 34, a new commandment. He says in verse 34, a new commandment I, Jesus Christ, give to you, that you love one another even as I have loved you, that you also love one another. Not just love, any love that you want it to be. Not the love of the old commandment, that you love one another as you love yourself. An unbeliever can do that. No, this is a powerful love. This is the ante. He up the stakes. This is a love that you love as I, Jesus Christ, have loved you. Therefore, you've got to know how he loved. And many other things that we're going to study. All right, let's take a look now. A new commandment I, Jesus Christ, give to you. Almost every word in this verse is so important and so powerful. So we have a commandment. In the Old Testament, we had a commandment in dealing with love, but this one is different. Jesus Christ calls this a new commandment. All right? Let's take a look now. Most people have an ideal, a general ideal about commandments, what they are and what they are not, whether we obey them or not. We basically have an understanding of that. The Greek is entele. It's like this for those of you that are interested in it, and those of you that are not interested in it, it still looks like this. So let's take a look at what commandments are. I don't know how long I want to go into all of this and deal with it, but this is the Greek E-N-T-O-L, long E, entele. This is the word commandment. Commandments mean to do something. That's what commandments are for. Do this and do that. And it's a charge. And what I want to do is I want to take a few moments of your time. I want to talk about and understand some things about a commandment. A new commandment. We'll take the word new in a moment, but let's take the word commandment. Let's take the word commandment. Let's see what we got in an understanding just of this word. All right, a commandment. Point one, a word that in our society today, especially post-World War II, has become a very ugly, resentful word, and especially in the Church of Christ, in the body of Christ. I mean, denomination Church of Christ, but in the body of Christ, and that is authority. Authority. Relationship. Relationship. All right, let's take a look. Relationship, authority. We're dealing with the one who gives the command. The person who gives the command is in authority. And there's a relationship between him or her, the one who gives authority, and the person to whom they give the command, and the person that they give the command to. There's a relationship that is established in our society. In history, a king gives a command, an emperor gives a command. In the military, a higher authority, higher rank. General, and then you keep going down, the full bull, the company commander, and you just work all the way down to the sergeant and to the person that is over you, that you are to do this. It's authority. And now we come to the point of God. God giving a command. God giving authority. God gives command. Now, principle under point one. So important. You, each one of us, this is for me and you, we must decide whether or not Jesus Christ has the authority over your life to give to you a command. Does Jesus Christ have that authority over your life? Does Jesus Christ have the authority? And don't just say, yes, I know that. I'm not talking about knowing. I'm talking about knowing that makes a difference. talking about a knowing that's based on faith. Does Jesus Christ have the authority to give you a command, especially the command of love, which involves things that we do not want to do? The flesh isn't going to do it, like forgiveness and all the things that we're going to study. Does Jesus Christ have that authority? Anytime spiritual love makes a demand on you, like in 1 Corinthians 13, when we get into studying all of those 16 impacts, you just have to go back. When you say, well, I don't really want to do that, then you're saying Jesus Christ doesn't have the authority over my life to give me that command. And people, it's something you and I, each of us have to decide. Does Jesus Christ have the authority over your life to give you a command? There are people that have a right, and there are people who do not have a right. I don't have a right to tell somebody else's children what to do. Now, I'm not talking about where they're staying with me. I'm just driving down the street, and I don't like the way a kid's doing something. I stop the car and start giving them orders. And say, I don't have that right. There's not a relationship here. I don't have that authority over them. Each one of you have to decide, what place does he have in my life? What place does he have in my marriage, in my work life, my church life, every area of my life? The place that Jesus Christ has. See, most people want to say, nobody tells me what to do. That's a great American statement. I'm John Wayne. And nobody tells me what to do. You don't tell me what to do. Wives to husbands. Men to bosses. People to authority. Nobody tells me what to do. I'm me. Fine. That's the way you want to go through life. We have to decide. Does he have that authority over my life? Second principle about command, the one to whom the command is given. Here's the one who's given it, and now those, the ones, put the word those, you and I, those to whom the command is given. Those to whom the command is given. There is an official relationship between those who issue the command and those to whom the command is given. Okay, I need to go through with you a few sub-points so we can get something down here. One, sub-point one. To the extent that you respect the authority, and see, authority is a bad word in our society. We don't like authority. Boss, pastor, husband, parent. We don't like authority. We're in rebellion against authority in the church. I don't need a pastor. I study. It used to be just books, radio. Books. Radio and books. Then came television. Now we got tapes. Now we got churches everywhere. You can go this church, that church. And if all that isn't bad enough, now we've got the computer. Which I'm not kidding you, as a church sitting on your desk, if you've got a computer, you tap into the internet. I'm going to tell you something, boy, there is more information, Christian information, biblical information on that computer. You never have to leave your house. You don't need a pastor. You don't need an assembly. If your deal is just to learn, people, just sit at the computer. And you got it. That's not the way God set it up. God set up assembly with a pastor as an authority. But people don't want to do that. So they roam around. Go to this church and that church. So to the extent that you respect the authority of the one giving the command, now here's the rest of it, to that extent you will respect and obey the command. To the extent that you respect the authority of the one giving the command, to that extent you will respect and obey the command. To the extent that you respect the authority of Jesus Christ over you, and your life, the way you deal with people and yourself and others in life, to the extent. See, it isn't a matter, it is not going to be, watch this in spiritual life, it's not going to be a matter of you and the other believer or unbeliever. It's going to be a matter of you and Jesus Christ. Do I respect him enough and his authority over my life that he has the right to obey me, to give me a command? Or I have to obey him? Two, if you have little respect, for the one giving the command, you will not have much respect for the command. Parents, bear me out. Child doesn't think much of the authority of the parent. He doesn't think much of the command. He doesn't think much of it. Mom, Dad, they don't know what they're talking about. I'll go do what I want to do. I'll go smoke. I'll go do this. I'll go do that. Child that respects his parent, respects the command of the parent. Nope. Mom, Dad told me not to do it. Ah, you're not going to listen to your mom and dad. Yes, I am. I'm sorry. Yes, I am. They're important to me. I respect them. So to the point, to the extent, to the reason that you have, if you have little respect for the one giving the command, you will have very little respect for the command. In fact, it decreases. If I have little respect for the authority of Christ over my life, I'll even have less respect for the command. Less respect. Three. On the other hand, if you hold that authority, if you hold that authority, that person, in high respect, then you will hold their commands in the highest respect. So, you have to decide the authority of your Savior over your life in this command. And people, why am I spending this time? Right now, it may not look appear why I'm doing it, but let me just jump ahead so you'll know why. Nothing will make greater demands in your life than to love as Christ loved. Nothing. And when you're at that point of testing, this is what I want you to think about. What is my respect of him? I don't want to love. See, the last thing Paul is going to say in the 16 impacts of the spiritual force, of the force of spiritual love, and that's just in one setting. We have a lot more. But the last one, remember what the last one is? We haven't studied it, but the last one is love never fails. Yeah, but if I forgive them 70 times 70, they're just getting away with it. Love never fails. Yeah, but if I don't do this, then that means love never fail. I don't believe that. And that's where you'll be pushed to. Push comes to shove, I don't believe love never fails. I think you've got to get in there and help God out here. Or do you believe love never fails? So I'm not wasting time here, and I'm not just exegeting a passage. I'm coming right into your homes, right into your life. When your love is tested, when spiritual love is tested, and when we study what it is and the demands that will be made on it, and I'm telling you right now, there'll be some demands that will boggle your mind. What was the demand of God? His Son. His Son. What was the demand on Christ? His life. Bearing the judgment of sin. He knew no sin. It may cost you your life. We know love by this, that he laid down his life for us. We ought to lay down our life for the brethren. I'll lay down my brother's life, but I'm not laying down mine for him. That's not what it said. So what am I? I'm laying some groundwork, kind of like a, you know, somebody might say, you're taking a cheap shot. I'm laying a very good foundation for when you come under the test. Laying down the foundation. Does Christ have that kind of authority over your life? Do you respect him that much? That much that you will lay down your life. That much that you will love to the point of forgiveness 70 times 70. That much that you will do things to your sacrifice for the benefit of someone else. What kind of authority does he have? So we have to decide for ourselves the authority that Jesus Christ has over our lives. Principle. And it was what I said. It's amazing. It's right here in my notes. So let's get it written down, I guess. There is nothing that will make greater demands than this new commandment. And I mean nothing. Will make greater demands in your life, your marriage, your single life, your church life, your Christian life, than this new commandment. To love another person as Jesus Christ loves you. We want to be in control. We want to be righteous, and we want the world to know we're righteous. We want to get even. We want the other person to pay. We want them to hurt because they've hurt us. And on and on and on goes the list. You will not want in the flesh to deal with people in spiritual love. And therefore, you bring back into your soul this question, capital letters, does this command by Jesus Christ have authority over your life or not? So far, we have two very important points about a new commandment. One, authority of Jesus Christ over you. Jesus Christ over you. And secondly, your attitude toward Jesus Christ. And then the third is the new command itself. And let's summarize the new command. At the heart of the new commandment, is Christ's love for you. That's at the heart of it. It's personal. It's between you and God, you and Christ. At the heart of this new commandment that we're here looking at now, we have a new commandment. Now, the new commandment beginning this economy. And at the heart of this new commandment, it's at the heart of it. At the heart, continue now, at the heart of your love for Christ is His love for you. And third, at the heart of your love for others is Christ's love for you. So we have three maxims. At the heart of the new commandment is Christ's love for you. At the heart of your love for Christ is Christ's love for you. At the heart of your love for others is Christ's love for you. We demonstrate our love toward Jesus Christ in our love toward others. Now watch. We demonstrate. Why is this important? Because people, this is what the angels up here. This is what the angels are watching. The fallen angels. The elect angels. They're watching you. They can't read your soul. They're watching for this. This is why, people, Satan loves it when Christians devour one another. This is why Satan loves it when Christians do not demonstrate this love. This is why Satan loves it when Christians in marriage devour each other. Christians in a church devour each other. Members of the body of Christ, they love it. This is why they love it when you work on righteousness, because Satan can understand righteousness. He banks on it. That's why everybody has to be condemned, because of righteousness and justice of God. But what he cannot understand is the love of God that will offer his son on a cross to redeem unrighteous man. He cannot understand that. He hates it. And when he sees this coming from you, not your words, but demonstrated. So when you and I, can we demonstrate our love toward Christ, we demonstrate spiritual love in our love toward others. Okay? Proof. Let's take a look. That's a tough statement I just made. John 14, verse 15. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. What's his commandment? To love. Now, it's plural here because there's a commandment to believe. That's verse 1. If you look at verse 1, believe also in me. Commandments in context. What are the commandments at the table? The new commandment to love and to believe. That goes along with 1 John chapter 3. This is the commandment of God that you both believe in Jesus Christ and love one another. So, verse 15, if you love me, you will keep my commandment. His commandment is to love others. Look at verse 21, same chapter. He who has my commandments and keeps them, that is the faith and the love, he it is who loves me. And he who loves me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will disclose myself to him. We'll come to that in our study in John on Sunday morning. People, I don't know, that's a phenomenal verse. And what does it mean? Doesn't he disclose himself to everyone? No. Do you disclose yourself to somebody that doesn't love you? Sometimes we're afraid to disclose ourselves to somebody who we think might even love us, because if they learn this about me, they may not love me anymore. A lot of people in our society like to build walls around them. because I don't want other people to know, because they may not love me if they know this. So I'm going to hide it. And oftentimes it bears out in dealing with man. I want to tell you something. The perfection of Christ. He's not going to reveal himself just to anybody. He's perfect, and he's not going to reveal himself just to anybody. Because not just anybody's going to appreciate it. You don't want to reveal yourself to somebody and don't be appreciative of it. I reveal myself to you and it doesn't make any difference to you. And so why would I want to reveal myself to you? But we reveal ourselves to those who love us. So John 14, we continue through, it's going to be a powerful chapter in personal relationship between us and God. Look at verse 23. Jesus answered and said to him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our abode with him. What's the basis? The basis is love. Commandment we're to keep is love. If we do that, he's going to come and make his abode. And we'll find out what all of that means in our study. So, if you do not have the love for others, then guess what? You do not do the new commandment. And you do not love Jesus Christ. All right, point three. Major point three in our study. Major point three. In understanding commandment, we have to understand the nature of the commandment. So let's just spend a moment together on the nature of the commandment. We've noted the relationship between the one who gives the command and those to whom the command is given. Now let's look at a few things about a command. And I just want to run down some things. This is not by any means meant to be a complete list, but it'll start you thinking. What's the nature of the command? Nature of a command is to give us an everyday instruction on how to live a Christian life. You take the commandments and the Mosaic law and the nature of all of those commands, how to be an Israelite and how an Israelite functions with another Israelite. Take the nature of command in any house. I don't know about your household growing up and your household now, especially your parents. But we had various things that were done and not done. And I'll never forget growing up, over and over and over. Yeah, but Johnny's getting to do this. John's not my kid. You are. Well, I wish I were. You know? I mean, this would go over and over, many, many times. And that old lady, that mama, she didn't care about that last line. Yeah, tough luck. You are. So, this is it. Just over and over and over. You're going to be in this household. This is what is expected. This is going to be your routine of life here. Because this is the way we live here. You leave here, you can live however you want. You can live like a bum. But here you'll clean up your room. And here you'll do this. And here you'll do that. So what's the nature of a command? Everyday instruction on how to live. What's the nature of this command? People, the new commandment is an everyday. Watch this. This is what's amazing. In one commandment, not over 1,400, in one commandment, Jesus Christ has told us how to live every day of our life. The other wonderful thing about the Constitution of the United States of America is how short it is. 200 years, not very long, but it's just not long. It doesn't have to be long. The shorter, the better. And Jesus Christ, in one command, it said, this is how you're going to live day in and day out, because this is how angel and man are going to know your mind. Because they're going to observe how you live one day at a time. This command will direct you in virtually everything that happens in your life, people. I can take this new commandment and go through church history. Everything that we have documented about church history in the first century, and I promise you, had we exercised, we being the body of Christ, the new commandment, well, we would not have had nearly. I mean, it would have just, so many things would just gone by the wayside. Denominations would not be here. There would be no denominations had they respected the new commandment. Wouldn't be. But I'm telling you, people, nothing will make greater demands than this. Nothing from a greater demand than this one commandment. Nature of the command. It gives the official ordinance of procedure. in all areas of life. Tells us how to live. This is the procedure. This is what I have to ask myself when I come across a question. Because we've got to learn the Word of God. The Holy Spirit's going to guide us to the Word of God. Understand the Word of God. The Word of God doesn't tell us just every circumstance that we come to. So what's going to guide us? People, you don't need loads of stuff. I don't need 20 rules. I don't need 50 rules. I don't need all of that. All I need is one thing right there. One new commandment. And we can't even do that. But you know what? A lot of people would rather have a whole long list. They'd rather have a list of do's and don'ts. But I can do those. When it says do this, don't do that, do this, don't do that, I can see. But you see, you and I don't walk by sight. We walk by what? Faith. We walk by faith. I may not see the result of treating someone in love, but I'd rather treat some other way. But this new commandment lays down the ordinance on how we are expected to act every circumstance of our life is to love. That's what a commandment does. This gives you the protocol. This is the protocol of the Christian. This is how. That's what a commandment does. Here it is. Continuing, another one, just bullet shooting these. The mandate to do something, to do some specific duty. That's what a command is, a specific duty. A command of specific duty. Our specific duty is to love as Christ loved. It's good to know what to do. I want to know what to do. I mean, I always did it. But it's nice to know at home, in the military, school. What do we do? First day of school, seminary, graduate school, undergraduate, whatever. What's expected of me this semester? And so they've got syllabuses. This is what's expected. And then you look at it and you go, all this? Well, you asked for it. Okay. You know, they have 20 tests, 3 majors. Tests. You got so many reports, and you got to do this, and you got to do that, and you're sitting there looking at all that. But it's nice to know. Okay, if I do this list, then I can make it through this course. So a mandate to do something, some specific duty. And here it is. What is our specific duty as Christians? The new commandment by Jesus Christ to love as He loved. That's the specific commandment. Continuing. Commands, orders, these are instructions on how. It's instructions on how we as Christians are expected to live. What is expected of us? Someone were to come up to you and say, what is expected of you by your God for being a Christian? What is expected? Does your God expect you to sell all your goods and give to the poor? Does your God expect you never to sin? Does your God expect you? What is it that your God expects? We got a command. He expects me to love as His Son loved. As His Son loved me. So that's what He expects. That's the expectation of a Christian. Some of you may be sitting here, what about righteousness and what about some other things? Let me just jump ahead. We read these verses last week, but let me just remind you in Romans, if you do love, you fulfill all the law. If you do love, you fulfill all righteousness. It doesn't say if you do righteousness, you fulfill all love. Because a person can live a righteous life and never come close to love. That's what a Pharisee is. That's what a self-righteous person is. That's a person who builds their righteousness on hurting and comparing themselves with others and hurting others. But if you do love, you will do everything God expects you to do. This is a phenomenal command. I don't need a whole long list. I got one. One command that will guide in every circumstance of life. But what about this? Love. What about? Love. Yeah, but what happens with my wife? Love. What happens with my husband? Love. What happens with my child? Love. Now, remember, we haven't got there. We're not talking about just love that you want to define it. We're talking about the love with which Christ has loved us. So this doesn't get to be just love the way you define it. We have a love that is going to be horribly described for us, and by the word horribly, I mean it's going to be laid down what this love is. It's not jealous. It's kind. It's long-suffering. It bears all things. Not concerned with itself, and on and on and on. So this isn't going to be just love whatever you want it to be. No, this love is very well described. Not defined, but very well described in the Word of God what this love is. So that's what a command is. What is expected of it? Next, the command or direction. So that the citizens, the members of the body, here the body of Christ, will know how to live as a part of that body. Commands, therefore, are given for their benefit. It is to our benefit because commands direct us. I desire to live as I ought to live as a member of the body of Christ, so I have this command to guide me. As we begin to grow a little bit, I want to be a part of this family. Now, some families we don't, I understand, but let's stay with the principle. I want to be a part of this family. I want to be a part of it. So I want to function the way mom and dad are, you know, the husband, the wife, and I want to be a part of all of this. I don't want to be an outsider. I want to be a part. So what do I do? This command helps us. It directs us. It's to our benefit. Command is to our benefit. What pleases God? So we have a long list? No. What pleases God? To love as His Son loved you. That's the command. Not 20, not 10, not 9. One command, a new commandment. And all the commandments are wrapped up in it. Everything's wrapped up in this one commandment. That's how awesome it is. And that's why Satan is done. By the way, I know that some of you, as myself, and what before I ever got into this study several years ago, thought we just have such a weak view of love and what love is and isn't, and theologians and books are written on it, you know, agape love, phileo love, understanding love, and it's so difficult. Why do you think that is? Let me tell you why that is. You tell me, look, this love defeated Satan. Satan was defeated. Let's look at it the way we did our very first night. Here's God in his great battle. Here's Satan in his battle. Alright? Man comes on the scene. Satan breaks the fellowship between man and God with sin. Sin resulted in death. And then he knew that he had man. Nothing God could do. Man was in Satan's kingdom of darkness. Nothing God could do because God is righteous and just. Therefore, he has to condemn man just as he condemned Satan. One thing he didn't count on was the love of God. And the love of God sent his Son to the cross and brought life into the world. Now, you tell me why you think he's distorted love so much. He hates it, people. Every time you love as Christ loves, that's like jabbing him in the rib. This is how you're lost, Satan. This is how you're lost. With this kind of love. He hates it. So what he's going to do, he's going to do everything he can to water it down, make this word love some kind of a sloppy word. Some of my friends say we ought to have another word, just use another word. Not even agape, just, you know, when you come to the word love, call it, you know, just something, you know, blah. And so that nobody's confused. I don't want to do that. I want to bring it back to its richness in the Word of God. Bring it back to what it's supposed to be. I won't start all over. Let's deal with the Word. I'm not frightened of the Word anymore. I'm not fooled by everything Satan's done to it, just like the Gospel. He's watered down the Gospel, too. Water down the Holy Spirit. Now, this is what we have. And it isn't just any kind of love we want. This is a love wherewith Christ has loved us, and that limits it. And then the descriptions that we have in God's Word. So the new commandment that Jesus Christ is now giving to every born-again believer in the church age instructs us, guides us on how we ought to live. It's important to those who want to be a part of the body of Christ. Part of the battle. So this is the nature of the command. This is what the command is for. This is what a command does. So a command is designed, point four, and then we'll close. But this will close. Command is designed to protect you. It's designed to provide for you. It's designed to present. It is designed to protect the members of the body of Christ, protect us from ourselves and from each other. What a command does. It is designed to provide. The command of spiritual love provides the environment for the function of the body of Christ. In a home, commands provide the environment. You have commands in the home. What does it do? It sets up an environment where everybody can kind of live together. I grew up with a bunch of guys, brothers. In fact, my family I grew up in was kind of one of those deals where, honey, your children and my children are beating up our children. And that was happening, too. So, you know, you got to have some of these commands. And what would happen is, okay, this is, you leave your brother's stuff alone, let you ask, and you do this. And it just sets up an environment. So everybody kind of knows how to act. It protects everybody. Protects everybody from each other. And it provides a wonderful environment. To the extent that you obey, it provides an environment we can all function. People's spiritual love provides an environment in the body of Christ, whether we're assembling in a local church, in a marriage, in a family, in a home, in a fellowship, wherever we are, spiritual love provides a wonderful environment where we can all function in our spiritual gifts, in the spiritual life, and live our life as under the Lord. It provides that kind of an environment. It's a phenomenal environment that God has set up for us. Okay, we will resume at this point next Wednesday night and continue our study. We've taken pretty much care of commandment, and now we'll take a look at new. What's new about this commandment? And that's pretty striking in itself. Let's close in a word of prayer. If you have any questions, feel free to come up and let's go over them. Let's close in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, every time we open the Word, every time we study a passage, we stand amazed at what kind of God you are. We study the crossing of Jordan, and we learn that you're with us. In 1 John, that you've already cleansed and forgiven us sin. And tonight, Heavenly Father, the love with which you have loved us to your Son, and that you commanded us to love this way. And so, Heavenly Father, it is our purpose, our intent. It is a desire that is given to us by the Holy Spirit and the understanding of your word. We have a desire to love, to fulfill this new commandment. Every area of our life, every relationship in our life. That Heavenly Father, when the angels look, they will see the heart of the battle. And when man look, they will know that we belong to Christ. Not because we say so, but because of this love. I praise you for the God that you are. Your omniscience, your wisdom, the genius. Putting all these concepts into one new commandment. We praise you, Heavenly Father, in your Son's precious name. Amen. Oh, yeah.